Welcome to church.
We are so glad that you're here.
And we want you to know that when you walk through our doors today,
you didn't just walk into a building.
You walked into a family.
And regardless of who you are,
where you came from,
or what you look like,
you are welcome here.
Because at this church, we believe that God is love.
And that He is in the business of rekindling lost passions,
restoring broken dreams, and filling empty lives.
At this church, we believe that life in Christ is not a formula of rules and laws,
but a moment-by-moment relationship with Jesus.
And His love is infinite and everlasting,
without pretense or condition or discrimination.
At this church, we can't stand religion,
but we love God.
And if you're not quite sure what the difference is yet,
we can't wait to show you.
We're glad you joined us today.
Welcome to church.
If you have your Bibles, please turn them to John chapter 8. We will read from there first, and then we will shift from there to Galatians chapter 2. I'm here to tell you today and to proclaim to you that in Christ, you are free.
Amen.
There is nothing that can hold you. There is no bondage that can have you. There is nothing that can stop you from doing the appointed things that God has set before you. The Christian life is to be a life of liberty. Born again is born free. Let's say that. Born again is born free. You know, there are so many things that go on in this world that we don't have any control over, but we do have control over is the willingness to accept the things of God. Today, as we're looking in John chapter 8, we're actually going to pick this up in verse 31. Jesus is talking to the children of Israel. He's talking to some of the Pharisees and the legalists. And it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, 'If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you,'" what church?
Free.
Free. "They answered Him, said, 'We are Abraham's descendants, and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free?' Jesus answered them and said, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed.'" Please turn now in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 2, where we will be spending the remainder of this morning. Some people think that Christians are in bondage to Christianity. And in one sense, we are. We are called the bondservants of Christ. But at the same time, the people who say that they are truly free without Christianity are not free at all. They are slaves to sin. Amen? Because what is freedom? You know, we hear about freedom of the press. What they mean is the freedom to print filth. We hear about freedom of choice. What they really mean is the freedom to kill babies. We hear about free will, but their free will that they're discussing is the free will to do anything that they want and not to do the things that God has called us to do. "I am 62 years old, and I have never seen as much filth as there is today in this world. Not since Manhattan was sold for $24, has so much dirt been sold for so little money. People living in absolute spiritual bondage in this country. And God built us to be free. And in Christ Jesus, we are entrusted to freedom. We are entrusted to freedom, children. God has entrusted us to exercise the freedom that we have in Christ. Listen, today as we look at the book of Galatians, we ask, why are some of these books written? Galatians was written to an area of Turkey, like a big swath across the middle, called Galatia. And the Galatians, Paul had come through and expressed their freedom in Christ. He had evangelized the area. There had been a great harvest of souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. And as Paul left, the Judaizers, the legalists, would come in behind them and just try to tear down everything that Paul had taught about freedom in Christ. Now let me explain what spiritual freedom is today. We really have 2 points, but if you look in your notes today, in the back. Make sure you take your notes. You'll notice that, well, wait a minute, Pastor, you said you have 2 points. Well, I see a whole bunch of empty lines there. Well, I have 2 main points. And then we have a few words we're going to fill in to help you keep track of the things that we live in. First, the first point today is that we as Christians are free from a life of bondage. We are free from a life of bondage. There are basically 3 types of bondage that Christians are apt to get into. But I want you to know that you are free from these things. The first type of bondage that you're liable to get into is that you are free from the bondage of criticism. Free from the bondage of criticism. Some Christians, even pastors, become slaves of other people's opinion. They want to be politically correct. They want to say the right thing. Some pastors get caught up in the idea that it's their responsibility to fill the pews, and therefore they'll say things to tickle people's ears. It is not a pastor's job to fill the pews. It is a pastor's job to fill the pulpits. God will fill the pews. Amen? And when we preach the Word of God, the Lord has said, "My Word shall not return empty. It shall not return void." So we preach the Word of God and allow God to call His people unto Him. But other people become worried about what folks think. They become sheepish Christians. They become afraid Christians. So let's have a refresher course this morning for a moment about criticism. What is the fundamental truth of the Bible? We've learned that we are saved by grace through faith in who? The Lord Jesus Christ. We are not saved by keeping the law. We are not saved by doing good works. We are not saved by turning over a new leaf. We are not saved by how much we give in our tithes and offerings. We are not saved by church attendance. We are not saved by keeping the commandments. I say this in every single message, every single week. There is only one way unto salvation, and Jesus said it in John 14:6, where He says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through Me." That is, salvation lies through the Lord Jesus Christ. On the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached, he preached a great truth in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, where he said, "There is salvation under no other name but the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That is the fundamental truth of the Bibles. And our lives should reflect that. Scripture says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can I get some hallelujahs on that? Amen. That should make us sing and dance. Wait a minute, we're Baptists. You can move the hips or the feet, not both. And all God's children said, you know what? Earlier we sang a song, "Grace Like Rain." Oh, what amazing grace God has. God pours out His grace like rain in our lives. And because we are free, because of the sheer joy in our salvation, we should live grace-filled lives. And all of the gifts of grace that have been given to us, joy, peace, mercy, charity, love, that grace should pour out from our lives out of the sheer joy of our freedom in Christ and pour out and into the hearts and lives of others that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. As God gives us joy, we should exude and send joy to the world. As God gives us peace and mercy, charity and love, we should show those very same things into the world. Is our God not a generous God? Has He not blessed us among all blessings? Then those same blessings that are poured out to us, we should be pouring out of a sense and a heart of generosity because of the generous nature of our Heavenly Father. That grace should pour out into the hearts of others. Don't worry about what other people say about your faith. Worry about what God has done. But every denomination has killjoys. Every denomination has its legalists. Paul says that the legalists came to kill the freedom that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Galatians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5. If you're there, say amen. reading from the New King James Version, reading, and this occurred. What occurred? He talks about the things that happened so far. What I said at the top of this message was that Paul had gone in there, preached, and then people came in behind him. And this occurred because of false brethren. Notice he doesn't say false unbelievers. He says false brethren. Because of false brethren secretly brought in, who came in by stealth to spy out our liberty. What's another word for liberty? Freedom. Which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. That the Greek for there actually means to bring back into bondage. To whom we did not yield submission for even an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. Paul says that legalists came to kill the freedom. They came to ensure that the rules were followed. And Paul is saying in verse 5, we didn't give in an inch to them. Not one bit. He says right there in verse 5, we did not yield. I want you to understand that you are free in Christ. You are free in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are allowed to bring your needs directly to the Father. You don't need any mediator between you and our Father except the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name whereby we must be saved. There is no other name whereby we should confess our sins unto the Lord except through the blood of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, the Apostle Paul had a tender heart, but he had a tough hide. And he didn't care what people thought. Not even when one of the closest, not even when an apostle messed up. If an apostle messed up, Paul called him on it. Look down in verses 11 through 13 in that very same chapter. It says, now, when Peter had come to Antioch, what's important about the city of Antioch, folks? Anybody remember? What were we first called at Antioch? We were first called Christians at the city of Antioch. Now, where am I at? But now when Peter had come to Antioch, I withstood him to his face, because he was to be blamed. For before certain men came from James, he would eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing those who were of the circumcision. Paul says that the legalists came to kill. Paul now says, Peter, you're just wrong. You are hanging out with the Gentiles. You are hanging out with the Greeks. You are hanging out, and they have this great freedom and joy in Christ. And you were just wrong. You were so wrong that it says there that he also corrupted the son of encouragement himself, Barnabas. You're just wrong, Peter. Now, how is it possible for Peter to have done that? He was an apostle. Well, Peter had been preaching that you don't have to keep the Old Testament ceremonies. But when the Jewish hoity-toities, when the big wheel showed up, Peter backed off. I can't tell you how many times that I've seen certain people act differently when a person higher up in their organization or higher up in the Christian organization, quote unquote, comes into the area. Man, they break out the these and the thous and the thuses. And we're not called to do that. Amen? Amen. Listen, I've said this so many times. I'm going to say it again. If you're visiting us here this morning, this may be something you may have never heard before or haven't really thought about. For some reason, in church denominations, people believe that, you know, you have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And then down here somewhere, you know, you have the pastors or the leaders of your denomination. And, you know, and then the pastors. And then after the pastors, you have the elders in your church. And then you have the deacons. And then you have the ministry workers. And then you have everybody else. That is not it at all. We have Christ, who is the head of the church, and we have the body of Christ. And within that body of Christ, we all have different skills. We all have different needs. We all have different callings to the ministry. I can tell you how we know that. It's because I'm standing here, hooked to a microphone, and not back there, hooked to a microphone on Sunday mornings. Amen. I heard my wife with a loud amen over there. Yes, we all have different giftedness. And so we are all equal in God's sight, because when God looks at the saved creature that used to be the sinful man that has now become in Christ, He does not see the sinful man, He sees His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen? That is just incredible, awesome, wonderful news. So, and Peter was worried about getting criticized by the big shots, and Paul calls him on it. If you know a brother in Christ that does that, you need to call him on it in love. Now, we are very fortunate, because when we call each other on some of these things, it's not in the Bible for everybody to read for the next 2,000 or 3,000 years. Amen? I'm sure Peter's going, oh man, that was a bad moment right there. You know, but call your friends on that. Now listen closely. Scripture says that we are ambassadors of Christ. Scripture also says that we are soldiers of Christ and that we are to fight the good fight. Scripture does not say that we are politicians. We are not to be politically correct. We should never be mean-spirited, but we should stand up for Christ. Don't be afraid. Don't try to please everybody, because you never, never, never will. But you can please the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been in ministry for a while now, and I've had my fair share of criticism over the years. I've tried to be diligent about the things of God, but there's been a couple of times, very difficult situations, very difficult decisions where a stand had to be made. And in those cases, I always consult the Scripture. If you ever ask me for advice, if you ever notice Pastor Larry says, well, let's see what God's Word says about that. Because we don't want my advice, we want to see what God has to say. And in these cases where I had these tough situations, these difficult situations, the Word of God was clear. And I prayed, and I simply said, this is where the Word of God stands, and therefore, this is where I stand. On the Word of God. But friends, when you do that, that will open you up to criticism. It's not easy living that way. But now listen to me. It doesn't matter what people think. It doesn't matter what people say to me, because Christ has set me free and I'm no longer a bondage to criticism. Amen? Second, we're also free from the bondage of fatalism. Fatalism. Now, when it comes to Christianity, this can mean a lot of different things, but I'm going to talk about one in particular this morning. When you are free in Christ, you are no longer bound to the idea of looking to the stars for your answers. When you are worried about your sign, when you are worried about the alignment of the stars or the planets, when you have a lucky or unlucky anything, when you check your horoscope, then you are a victim of fate in your own mind. And you most certainly are not free. You become a slave to something other than God being the Lord of your life. You become a slave to something other than God being the leader in His plan for your life. What a horrible bondage to be under. To check those things in the morning rather than checking the Word of God to see what He has to say for your heart that day. Here's what I have to say about horoscopes. Stop it. It's straight from saying. And if you were to translate that into Greek or Hebrew, here's what it means. Stop it. If that makes it mad, makes you mad, you can come find me after service and apologize. So, in Christ, you are free from criticism, the bondage of criticism. You are free from the bondage of fatalism. Third, you are free from the bondage of legalism. Flip over to Galatians chapter 5 quickly. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. If you're there, someone say amen. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. What's that all about? The Jewish legalists were saying, do you want to get right with God? You've got to keep the Jewish law of circumcision. You've got to keep the Jewish rituals. That's what legalism is, friends. If you ever read the story of Job, and Job went through all the terrible things that he went through, and then his three friends, I like to call them the three stooges, come by, they were legalists. If you look at what they were saying, Job, certainly you have done something wrong. Certainly you have offended God in the church by not following His statutes. And we all know Job had done nothing of the sort. That's what legalism is. It is the cruelest bondage of all. You know, a lot of Baptist churches are filled with legalism. Hymns only. Organ or piano only as God intended it in their eyes. I am so glad for our praise team. I am so honored that God has blessed us with these people that it's not about the size of our team, although we have a large praise team and band. It's not about the quality of the instrumentation. Good Lord, we have quality instrumentation. It's about praising God. Amen. Other Baptist churches say you must be baptized in this Baptist church in order to be a member or become recognized as saved. Other denominations spout false doctrines and legalistic dogma. You have to knock on so many doors to make it into heaven. You have to say so many prayers. You have to say a certain prayer over and over and over. And by the way, while my lips are moving and I'm already making everybody mad this morning, friends, you are to worship God alone. You are to confess your sins to God alone. You are to pray to God and to God alone. You are to bow down and worship and kiss the hand of God and God alone. If you're in a church that's telling you to do any of those things, don't you ever go back. You don't have to come to this church, but find yourself a Bible-believing church that teaches the grace of God and the freedom in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, friends, you should serve others because that is what Christ did, not because it's demanded by the head of that particular church. I don't demand that anyone serve in any place, in any way, shape, or form in this church. People will come to me and say, Pastor Larry, I feel the Lord calling me to do such and such in this church. And I say, Amen. I feel the Lord calling me to sing on the praise team. What do you think? I say, I've got a praise team leader. Go see her. My goal is Amen. My goal is whatever God has called you to serve in. Miss Margaret helps with the PowerPoint and the bulletins each week. I love that. I love that. I send the stuff over to her and it comes back good. You know, and she has humor sometimes. They're poking some fun at the pastor. But listen, we should serve others. We should do it in outrageous joy. Do it in the freedom impressed upon your heart by the Holy Spirit of God. The legalist way, the legalistic way leads to work, 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 and more work. Reminds me of an ox pulling a plow in a field, and they work it and they work it and work it until it drops, and then they slaughter it. That's what happens in so many churches. Legalistic, legalism, trying to be justified by keeping the law, a ministry of works, and no one can keep the law of God. Amen? Back to Galatians chapter 3. Flip over to Galatians chapter 3, verse 11. But let's look at verse 10. If you're there, say amen. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the laws to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Think about it this way. When you can't keep the law. There's not a one of us that hasn't broken every single one of the commandments of God. You say, well, wait a minute, Pastor, I've never murdered anyone. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, if you have anger in your heart toward someone, you are guilty of murder. It's the Lord, the man looks at the outside, amen? What does the Lord look at? And if you're thinking it, if you're doing that, and I'm not talking about righteous anger. There's a time to have righteous anger in your heart. That's appropriate. But if you have a mean-spirited anger in your heart for someone, then you've broken the law of God. When you come home and you find your child has shaved his head except for the sides, and the sides are blue hair, make sure that you have righteous anger, Mom. How do I know those things happen? We have a son, all right? So that stuff can happen. And all the mom said, amen. Listen, you cannot keep the law. Look at it this way. If you're stopped from, let's say you're driving down the street and you're pulled over for running a red light. The policeman comes up and he says, officer, I came all the way down Wiles Road and I stopped for every single red light. He's not worried about the ones you stopped for. He's worried about the law you broke. Amen. And God is concerned about the unrepentant sinner who has not called upon the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives to confess their sins and to be saved one time forever through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that when we get saved we're not going to sin. We are. All the time. But it is handled. It is under God's atonement. You know, and so God cares about the commandments that you have not kept. Amen? Okay. By the way, God's grading curve is pretty tough. What is God's standard for your grade? Perfection. Any perfect people here today? Keep your hand down. I don't want to get you in trouble. Listen, no amount of obedience can make up for one act of disobedience to Almighty God. If you break one commandment, you are guilty of breaking them all. There's three words I want you to jot down on your margins quickly. First we have is legalism. All right? In legalism, law is running the show. In legalism, law is running the show. You try to be perfect, but you can't because the standard is perfection. Second is license. L-I-C-E-N-S-E. You can't keep the law. So the law becomes your enemy. You say, I give up. No one can keep those laws. No one can keep those commandments, so I'm just going to do what I want. Ah. Legalism and license are heads and tails of the same problem. Sin against God. Either one of those, you're headed straight to the great white throne of judgment. So where do we turn? We turn to liberty. Not legalism, not law, but liberty. Liberty is where you accept that Christ's sacrifice on the cross has fulfilled the requirements of the law. I can't keep the law. It's impossible. No one can. I can't get to heaven with a licentious life. The wages of sin is death. All that's left is to receive the free gift of salvation by grace through faith. Amen? When you do that, you are free from a life of bondage. And I've given you examples of what we're freed from. Criticism, fatalism, legalism. Moving on quickly now. What are we freed for? Look at Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. Folks, if you can be saved by doing good things, then Calvary was a mistake and Christ died for nothing. What is it that sets you free and makes you free indeed? It is the cross of Jesus Christ. Now, how does the cross of Jesus Christ set you free? Think about it this way. When I remember how much Christ loves me, when I remember how much God the Father loves me, Christ loved me so much that He hung on the cross at Calvary for me, that I am so precious to God that He sent His only begotten Son to give up His life. Well, then listen to me, friends. I don't care what anyone thinks. I don't care. I don't care that they mock me for being a Christian. The cross set me free from criticism. The cross set me free from fatalism. I don't give in and live in bondage to a bunch of astrological nonsense. I am part of God's wonderful plan. Amen? I have been redeemed. I am righteousness. I have right standing before the God. I have been justified by grace through faith. I am being sanctified as I work out my salvation in Christ for the work of the Lord. And my heart, my life is in the hands of my God. Isn't it better that way? What kind of life will that look like? I'm glad you asked. First, we fill in these last three points. We live an executed life. Now, just let's see how that works. We live an executed life. There we go. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Jesus Christ died as my substitute. Follow me on this, church. His death had my name on it. If you look up here at me, here's what you're looking at. You're looking at a crucified man because Christ is in me. Christ's crucifixion was for me. I am crucified with Christ and therefore I am free from the penalty of sin. What is the penalty of sin? Death. That death for sin has already been paid. So I have not only the executed life, I have the exchanged life. Second bullet point there. The exchanged life. Verse 20, it says, He loved me and gave Himself, what's it say there? For me. He loved me and gave Himself for me. Think of it this way. Christ gave himself for me. He exchanged places with me so that he might give himself to me. When Christ died for me, he didn't just take away my sins. He took away self. He took away the concept that it has to be about me. That's how Miss Latima can serve in the children's ministry for a decade. A decade. And we see her in here once in a while. I want you to know that this is not a visitor. This is Miss Latima, our children's director. You don't care because you're serving Christ. He takes away self. Amen? He who died for me now lives in me. He gave himself for me that he might also give himself to me. That is so amazing to me. Reflect deeply on this for just a second. Christ died for me for my sins so that when he died, I died. And my sins died. May I ask you something? Who can harm a dead man? What do we learn in Psalm 23? The shadow of death. Amen? It's a shadow. It has no fear for us. If Christ lives in me, then the Son of God, the God-man, lives in me. Who can harm the God-man? No one. I have been set free. Third, we see an energized life. Look again in verse 20. It reads, "And the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God." Now you see in your some translations you'll see the word the leading the missing. That is a grammatical issue there and the way that the language works. But where it says faith, it really means the faith. So think about it. "And the life which I now live, I live by the faith in the Son of God." You say, okay, Pastor, you have faith in the Son of God. No, that's not what it's saying. Think about this for just a second. That's not the grammar of that verse. I live by the faith that is in Christ Himself. The faith that the Son of God had to go to the cross. The faith that the Son of God Himself has, that faith is what I have access to. You say, well, this person or that person or the other person are people of great faith. It means that they're accessing more of the faith that is in Christ Jesus. We all have access to that. Amen? Don't forget who you are. You are the King's kids. You are royalty in the kingdom of God. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. Okay, so finishing up here. Every demand of my faith is really a demand on the power of the faith of Christ Himself. Do you get the difference there? It's not dependent upon my faith. Every demand on my faith is dependent upon the faith of Christ Jesus Himself. Therefore, I don't care about criticism. Because Christ didn't care about criticism. He went to the cross. He was mocked. He was scorned. It didn't stop him one bit. He said, the book of Luke says that he set his face toward Jerusalem, knowing what he had to do. That he had made these plans before creation. We learned in 1 Peter this past week in our midweek studies. Can you imagine that? That God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, there's a consensus on the creation being done, and at that very instant, Christ knows he has to go to the cross. I'll do it. Before the foundations of the earth, God loved you and set his face for you. Oh, man. You know, God, Christ didn't care about criticism. Christ didn't care about the stars. I don't care about the stars either. I have faith in the Savior who set the stars in the heavens. I don't care when the legalists point out that I can't keep the law. I never said I could. I don't care when they say, Pastor, you're a sinner. Amen. And if you think I'm not, just hang out with my wife for a few minutes. She'll fill you in. You know, I have parts of my life that we like to refer to as building my testimony. How many of you have that part of your life still out there somewhere, huh? All right, and the rest of you fibbers can repent at home. All right, but Christ fulfilled the law. I don't care when people say I'm a terrible sinner because I say, Lord, I trust you. You live in me. Because whom the Son sets free is free indeed. What a life! A life of liberty truly is. What a life that you have. A life of grace and mercy and liberty. Why? Remember the amazing statement about the tie-in of faith that is available to me? It is the power of the faith of the Son of God Himself that lives within me. And I'm free to a grace-filled, a fruitful life in Christ. Hallelujah. Grace like rain pours down on me. Let me be a blessing to others so that they will know what it means to have faith in the Son of God. As the praise team comes, I am free. I am absolutely free. Free unto what? Oh, I'm free unto, I'm free from sin. Saved at last. Amen? Every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy.